You're listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 40, featuring Holland.
So me and my family are walking out and we're going to the shuttle to go back to our hotel. He just kind of like runs out of this building. And I remember turning around, it's this big, bald, like probably 350 pound tall guy. And he just looked at me and he's like, "I just want you to know something's going to happen for you because you didn't make it on this show." Like, he's like, "I've been watching you and your family and how you guys carry yourselves, and just know that like something better is coming out of this." And I was like, "Whoa, that's really cool." Like, he just kind of said stuff that he couldn't really know. It was weird.
You're about to hear how Holland went from singing in church to singing on American Idol, what a security guard said to encourage her after she was eliminated from the show, the crazy scenario of meeting Toby Mac and how he became her mentor, and how many of the songs on One Way Conversations were written from a very honest and vulnerable place. I'm Justin Paul, along with Holland, and we're going to talk about a lot more than just the music.
More Than the Music is hosted by Justin Paul, a touring musician turned national radio personality who loves the dramatic, humorous, sometimes tragic, and often inspiring story behind the songs from your favorite artists. You can connect with the show at wayfm.com/Justin. Now here's your host, Justin Paul.
I am so thrilled to be joined on the More Than the Music podcast by Miss Holland. How you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are
you? Hey, welcome. We're going to talk about the songs on One Way Conversations, plus get to know a little bit more about you.
Yes.
Before we jump into the music, by the way, I love this record.
Thanks.
Fantastic. These songs have been stuck in my head this whole time.
Thank you.
I can't live with. I'm not going to do a terrible impersonation.
Do it.
But let's start way back at the beginning, how this whole thing got started for you,
right,
and how music became what you wanted to do with your life.
So from a young age, I've sang and played instruments and everything in church and school and anything I could get my hands on, and entered competitions and all that good kind of stuff. And then when I was 15, I actually auditioned for American Idol, and through American Idol not working out, I started making YouTube videos, and my YouTube videos got into the hands of Mr. Toby Mac, and I was at a concert of his actually, and little did I know, he already was watching my stuff. But I kind of felt like, man, I don't know why, but I really feel like I'm supposed to like work with him or meet him or something, but I didn't really tell anybody. I kind of kept it to myself. And then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from him. Well, my dad did, actually. And then signed with Goatee in 2013. And we've been working for 4 years together and came up with this album. So it's been a long, crazy road, but it's just starting out.
So you felt like you were supposed to work with Toby Mac, and then what, does he show up on your doorstep? Like, how does that work?
No, he called my dad at work and then came to my house in Ohio later on that year, because I met him in January. He probably came in like October. Him and my A&R and Brad and Joey Elwood, the president of Goatee, all drove up to my house and like had dinner with us. It was crazy.
Like, who does that?
Nobody.
Toby Mac. That's
Toby
who
Mac,
does that.
Yeah.
Well, you were born in Waverly, Ohio.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that thing you guys do.
Oh, yeah. O-H.
Am I supposed to finish it?
Well,
I'm from Georgia. I don't know this stuff.
Then you can't.
Okay,
then
sorry.
You can't. No,
I just figured I'd get out of the way because I know you're probably like thinking it the whole time. Oh, wait.
I know.
What you guys do.
I know. I love it. I'm a diehard Buckeyes fan. But I was born in Columbus, and then I grew up in Chillicothe, Waverly area, and graduated from Waverly High School.
Your dad was a preacher, at least when you were younger?
Yeah. So, well, my dad is actually in telecommunications. So he got called to preach when I was 8, and he pastored a church for 8 years, and then stepped down from that position to be with his family more because I was starting to travel. My brother was doing sports and he just felt like that was what he was called to do. So yeah, he was a pastor of a church for a while.
So I'm guessing you obviously started singing in church when you were a kid, right?
Yeah. That was pretty much, I grew up knowing like no different. Also like acting like in plays and all that, and like hand in hand with that was the singing. And so it naturally just came with it. So I was like, yeah, I'll sing.
And what did young Holland sing in church?
Oh my gosh. Well, Young Holland sang a lot of Southern gospel because that was all that we knew in Southern Ohio. So that was what I sang. And
that sounds a lot like South Georgia.
Yep. The Isaacs and Crab family and all that stuff.
Oh, you are speaking like my parents' language.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So it was a lot of fun.
But now, like, you've transitioned into being a pop singer, so obviously you get your roots from Southern gospel, but now it's translating into something completely different.
Exactly. I don't really know how that happened. I mean, I grew up going to a Christian school as well, so I think my whole life was just centered around church and my faith and everything. And then when I was probably in junior high school is when I moved to a new city. And so I met a lot of new people and everyone had much different taste in music as me. Went to public high school and everything. And even before that, I was listening to all kinds of stuff. But, you know, especially when I moved to Nashville and started writing my own music is when I figured out what I really loved to sing and what I was passionate about. And yeah, that's like pop and R&B, like soulful kind of stuff.
Your whole family's musical, your mom, your brother sing too, right?
My brother sings. He doesn't so much anymore, but he plays drums and guitar, and then my mom plays piano, and she sang in church for a long time, and my dad plays guitar.
You could literally be a Southern gospel band.
Maybe. I don't know. I was in a Southern gospel group growing up, but...
You were?
I was in like a band. We were called Hillside Harmony.
That's very Southern gospel.
Yeah, it was me and two other girls, and it was really fun. But yeah, we just did it for fun, and we were all family friends, so...
And then at 9, you won like this fair competition.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like? Because I know the fair in South Georgia is a pretty big deal. Was it a big deal in your town?
Well, so I lived in a neighboring town, which is called Chillicothe. And then my school that I went to was in Waverly. So I would like commute back and forth all the time. And in Waverly, they had a fair and there's only 4,000 people that live there. So it was like a big deal, you know, but it was still pretty like a fair, like a small town county fair. And they had this thing called the Pike County Idol. And I entered that. I was 9. And I went up against people my age now. So like 9 to 20 year olds. And I won. And I was like, how did I win that? So that was kind of the start for me. I was like, oh, I need to probably try this out.
You win Pike County Idol.
Yeah.
And then you're actually on American Idol a little bit later. That's like foreshadowing there, right?
I know. Kind of weird. No, American Idol was crazy, though. It was very eye-opening to me. And in a way that... It was all kind of a blur. I remember auditioning for it and, you know, hearing all the horror stories and the great stories and just being like in awe of what it was going to be like.
I see what you did there.
I didn't even realize I did that. So, but yeah, it was a good experience.
So you're on season 12 and you made it to the Hollywood round.
Yeah.
And then you get the call like, we're going to cut down to 20 girls.
Yeah. So
and you're not it.
No, it was crazy. So they had 24 guys, 24 girls, because they split both of us up. So I made it through Hollywood week. Like, people think that, like, I guess it doesn't really matter, but people think I got cut during Hollywood week. Like, I was in the clear and I was going to live rounds and everyone was like, oh my gosh, can't believe it. Da, da, da. And then all of a sudden they pull all of us inside and they say, well, there's 48 of you guys. We have to cut 8 of you, 4 girls and 4 guys. And I was like, they're gonna cut me. I was like, I don't know why, but
so
I just
kind
of felt, I kind of
felt it. Yeah.
I felt it. And I was really young too. I was like 15. I don't know. Maybe they thought I could come back, but it was okay.
Yeah. If they hadn't canceled the show, maybe you could have came back.
Oh,
psych.
Yeah.
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 Well, what was that like getting that rejection at such a young age? Were you motivated after that to keep going or did you feel like it was it?
I think my natural instinct was to be motivated. Because after that, I started making YouTube videos and stuff. And the reason I did that was because if people saw me on the show, I didn't know how much FaceTime I was going to get on the show. But if my name popped up on the screen or something, no one could really search me and find anything. So I was like, I got to make some kind of video or something. Like, my dad was like, you should put that on YouTube or whatever and just record videos on your phone. I was like, okay. So I was in Florida on vacation and I put up a cover of Payphone. And that's what Toby Mac saw, you know, and it was just crazy. Like, I put up probably 15 to 20 videos within like a couple weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, I just like recorded all kinds of stuff. Most of those are gone now because they're embarrassing. But yeah, I mean, that's what I did. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this get me down. It was disappointing for sure.
But what happened? I heard there was a story with the bodyguard, like as you were leaving Idol, he kind of spoke some life into you as you were like leaving after you just got eliminated. This dude walks up to you and says what?
Yeah, that was crazy. So me and my family are walking out and we're going to the shuttle to go back to our hotel. And he just kind of like runs out of this building. And I remember turning around. It's this big, bald, like probably 350-pound tall guy. And he just looked at me and he's like, I just want you to know, something's going to happen for you because you didn't make it on this show. Like, he's like, I've been watching you and your family and how you guys carry yourselves, and just know that like something better is coming out of this. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool. Like, he just kind of said stuff that he couldn't really know. It was weird. I was like, okay, thank you. Like, I thought he was gonna like say, hey, you guys need to leave, you know, and get out. But he
was
super, I know. But he was so nice. And immediately, like 2 weeks after that, is when I met Toby.
Obviously, he saw your video on YouTube, but I heard there was another weird connection with somebody in DC Talk back in the day.
Yeah, so there was a drummer that played for DC Talk, and he lives in my hometown. And actually, one of my brother's friends that he used to play sports with, his dad was really good friends with this guy. We all kind of knew him, and he passed my YouTube stuff along to Toby and the guys at Goatee. I guess he like sent it in an email or something. And they probably know better about that story than me, because I haven't really asked all the details. But I do know that that's how Toby got a hold of my stuff. And then he followed me on Twitter and called my dad and got my number from mutual friends and said, hey, do you guys want to meet up at the next Winter Jam show that we do? And I was like, sure. So
when you play in DC Talk, I think that you can send an email to Toby Mac and be like, hey, check out this girl.
Yeah.
If I would have sent an email, I'd be like,
yeah,
I'm not listening to that dude.
It's
like,
crazy.
Who?
I know. It was just like a God thing, honestly. So
you thought that like you were going to be working with Toby Mac, and then here you are working with Toby Mac, touring with Toby Mac. He's really been like a cool mentor to you.
He's been amazing. I mean, you know how you have that feeling sometimes where you're like, man, that'd be really cool to do that. And then all of a sudden it happens.
Yeah.
It was the exact same feeling. And he's been a great mentor to me. I mean, he's literally poured out his talent, his life, his wisdom into me, and just his family too. Like, he has such an awesome family and just shown me so much love in the community that I've been brought into, and just grateful. Like, I don't deserve the love that they've shown me. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool to have that community now here in Nashville. And yeah, it's great.
Well, I had him on the show when the Hits Deep Live album came out, which
really?
You're on like 3-4 tracks on. It might as well be like a Holland
Oops,
record. Come on. Come on, Toby. I wanted to play this clip for you. Something he said about you, and then get your response to it.
She's as good a singer as I've ever stepped into a recording booth with. I mean, she's amazing. Absolutely can do anything she sets her mind to vocally. Anything she can hear, she can do. Anything she can see, she can do. You sing her a melody, and she makes it twice as good as you ever heard it in your mind. But she's an amazing person. Heart of gold. Just a good, like, middle of Ohio girl that just loves God with all her heart, loves her family. Got to go up, drove, didn't fly or anything. We got in a car and drove up to meet her for the first time because I had seen some stuff on YouTube and a friend told me about her. Drove up, met with her and her family, ate dinner with them. Went to their house, shot basketball, played cornhole, hung out with them, and just fell in love with their family. To put her on some of my songs was something where I wanted her to sort of have a platform to launch from, but she took the songs beyond where I thought they could go vocally.
Yeah.
But it's good to tour with her. It's good to introduce her to public. It's good to have someone that I know just working with her and knowing her heart and preparing her for the journey that's ahead of her. Any part I can play in that is my honor.
Do you realize that's Toby Mac? Like, that is Toby Mac.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that, because that's like, I don't know. That made me really happy. That's so nice. Oh, I love him. Like, I love him in a non-weird way. I just love him so much. Like, I don't have enough words to explain.
Like
if people would only know, like, what he's done for me. Like, honestly, like, for my soul. That man has sacrificed a lot of time and energy when he didn't have to, and he just shows like the utmost respect in my mind and in my heart for him. If anybody says anything bad about Toby Mac, they are a liar. They're a liar. They must not know his heart. So he's amazing.
The only thing bad I've ever heard about Toby Mac is that he gets pretty intense when you play cornhole
yes,
with him.
Yes, he does.
And that sometimes friendships are put aside when the cornhole game starts.
Yeah, but they're immediately, it's at moments, but he doesn't ever put friendships aside. He just gets super fiery, and it's awesome to see. Like, he always makes fun of me because I'm on the side whenever I hear that he's playing, or I'll go play or whatever, and I'll just watch him, and he will just get so upset if he like does something wrong, and he'll just start yelling and, like, you know, not in a bad way, but in a competitive way, you know, he's motivated. And so I'll just start laughing because I love seeing him like that.
So you're on tour with him. Does he wrap you into all the sports stuff that he does, like basketball and
Yeah, for sure.
Cornhole.
No, basketball, cornhole. I mean, this tour, it's different when you're on a bigger tour and there's more guys. Now, I'm one of the only girls on tour, so they always ask me to come and play. Sometimes I can't, but I love it. It's really, really fun, and we are really competitive. I'm very competitive. But it's great to do that with them, too.
Yeah, being competitive with Toby Mac's like next level, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, it is. It really is, though.
Getting dunked on.
Yes, getting dunked on. I don't know about that. No, he's awesome. He has a great shot. So.
And you, I mean, you're talking about Toby Mac and DC Talk. You get to be on the Jesus Freak Cruise
mm-hmm.
that's coming up in July.
Yep.
How awesome is this? I mean,
awesome.
Like, this is the reunion of DC Talk, and you're on the same stage.
I know. It's amazing. I love them. I love Michael Tate. I saw him in the airport the other day, and I can smell him before
you're
I
still
see
smelling him.
Him
right now, actually.
I'm still smelling him. He smells so good. But yeah, him and then Kevin Max and Toby, it's going to be really fun. I'm excited about it. It'll be really great.
Well, let's jump into your music. Can't Live Without is a song that is stuck in my head. Like,
that's good.
I can't live without. Sorry. I won't.
Ding, ding, ding,
you
ding.
Do it much better than I do. What's the story behind this song?
I was out on the West Coast on a tour, and I came back home. A lot of things happened out there in my mind and my heart, and I was just kind of at this place of, okay, what can't I live without? If I had to choose something that, you know, I had to decide today, do I want the music or do I want to make music like this or that, or do I want to really focus on my relationships or this? And there was so much confusion in my heart, and I kind of came to this place where, you know, no matter what happens in my career or this album or my life, I can't live without the love from my community and my God and the people that care the most about me and that I love the most. And that's what this song is about.
I can't get you out of my head. And I don't wanna ever forget. You give me what the world can never give. I can't.
I follow you on Instagram, and I see, like, you just love hanging with people.
I do.
Like, you look like you have a lot of close friendships, and even talking with people that you've toured with, it's like, you're a people person. You're just hanging out with everybody. You're not, like, one of those shut up in your bus the whole time before the
no,
show. You know?
I hate that. No, I love hanging out with people, especially on tour. I like hanging out with different groups of people. But, yeah, I have a lot of close friends out there on the road, and it's great. I love community.
What does a typical show day look like for you? Like, do you just, like, hey, guys, where are you going? Where are you going? Can I go?
Pretty much. No, I usually hang out with pretty much the same group of people a lot because you get into a habit every day, and certain people on the crew will work from certain times, and then artists will wake up at certain times, and then different people are doing different things. So I hang out a lot with the Capital Kings guys and my guitar player Alex and my drummer Elizabeth and just different people on the road, and we have, you know, whoever's out there that I know, and I like to meet new people, get connected and see, like, hey, how does this work, you know, how's your team, and just talk to everybody. But it's a family out there, so you have to keep in touch with everyone.
Well, I mean, it has to be. Like, you're on the road so many dates, especially with, like, the Hits Deep Tour. Like, you are everywhere.
We are.
So you have to build this community on the road. Otherwise, like,
exactly.
You're just going to be so lonely, like, doing your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think the good part about that is even, like, coming back home, a lot of these people live here. And so even Ryan Stevenson, he's on our tour bus as well. And so he does all these different kinds of workouts that he'll, like, draft me and different people to come do, and, like, it's just fun, you know, to hang out while you're home and then on the road as well.
I thought the road was just like gummy bears and pizza. You guys, like, work out and stuff?
Yes. If I didn't, I would be.
That sounds awful.
I know. It's hard to get motivated.
'Cause I want to eat gummy bears and pizza when I'm on the road.
I know. Well, that's the killer's after show food. So
someone always brings you something, right?
Yeah, always.
Yeah, and it's usually something like gummy bears and pizza
or Oreos and milk.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Love good. With Your Life is the next song, man. Yep. Another song that gets stuck in your head so much, man. This is a great song.
Yeah, thank you. I love Love With Your Life because especially live. We're doing it on the Hits Deep Tour, and it's the song that I end with, and we try to get everybody in that place jumping and ready for the night, and it is just crazy. Like, the response that we've had on tour is really awesome, and we did this song out on the West Coast as well this past summer when I released it, and it's just a fun song. I love it in my set, and it just talks about, you know, no matter what, to just love people and don't just say that you're going to do it, but actually love people with how you live your life.
I think that's commentary that we need now more than ever, especially in the way our world is changing. It seems like all we're fed is hate, hate, hate.
Yeah.
But the way people are going to see Jesus is how we love and how we live our life.
Of course.
And I love that this song represents that.
Yeah. Thanks. You gotta love with your life.
The next song that kind of has a cool story behind it is this song, In Awe. I read on your Facebook page that you were just in a vocal booth for like an hour just singing these thanks to God, and that's how this song kind of came about.
Yeah, so I was in Portland, Oregon with my producer Dave, and we were just writing a whole bunch of songs. I was there for a few days, and so we decided, you know, let's just go into this booth and just start singing stuff, you know? And that's how In Awe came to be. And so when I was in there, I just kind of started thinking about all the things that I was going through and the season of life that I was in and what I was thankful for and where God had brought me from and how I got to do music for a living, and not even that, but what he was doing in my personal life and how he was growing my heart and my soul closer to him. And it was just amazing to see the end result. And, you know, we pieced together everything we got and we're like, whoa, this is going to speak to people's hearts. And I go back and listen to it and I'm reminded of where I was in that season. And it's awesome to see it come together. I'm living in a hole, 'cause you don't need me at all, but you couldn't.
Now, is that abnormal in the way you songwrite, or is that the way you normally do it? Like, you just begin singing what comes out of your heart and that kind of forms into a song?
Well, it depends, honestly. But for the majority of the time, I'll probably just go into a booth and there will already be a track, or we'll start building a track and then I'll go in a booth and just start singing stuff. Melody is my big thing. I've become a better lyricist as the time's gone on, but melodies, like, I just love spitting those out. So if I can get in a booth and nail down a melody, then the lyrics will come pretty quickly after that.
And that, does that usually look like humming or like?
Yeah,
just like,
I'll go in there, and if like there's a track, I'll be like, you got it, and just say weird things.
Can I get like an album of just that?
Exactly.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd be like, what did she say? Yeah, if you listen to most of these songs, like the first rough scratch of them, you'd be like, that's a song? Like, what is that? But that's how I write.
I read somewhere that you said a lot of this was inspired by California life and the beach. And I hear that in the music.
Yeah.
But you don't live in California or near a beach.
No,
so
I don't.
Did you want to just be like a beach bum? Do you want to just move to the beach somewhere?
Yes, I do. I actually am in love with the water. It's so weird. Ever since I've been a kid, my dad, my parents, every time we would go to like Myrtle Beach, or I think the closest beach to us was probably Myrtle or Florida or something like that. Every time we would go, I would not do anything else. I would be in the water all day. It didn't matter if the ocean, like the pool, I'm not kidding you, I would be in there all day. I would not leave. I would get out and my hands would look like dates. It would just be disgusting. You know what I mean? And so I love the water. Something about that. And my first time to California was this past summer. And when I went out there, it was like a whole new world opened up to me. I was just like, oh my this gosh, this is amazing. I want to live here. But that would be too far from my family. But I absolutely love it out there. And so every chance I get, if we get show offers from there, I'm like, yes. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's like Fresno. I'm like, I'm going to go to California. But yeah, I love it out there. It's so pretty and the coast and everything, the water.
And Party in the Hills is a very California sounding song.
Oh my gosh. That was so fun. We shot a music video for that in LA with Stephen Malcolm and Four Against Five and everyone. And so it was so fun. We got to go to this house in Malibu Hills right on the coast. That was crazy. If you just go watch that music video, you will understand how much I love it. You can
you
see
guys
it on
share
my face.
This song, like, it's on his record too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on his record and it's also mine. I loved it so much that I was like, I'm gonna put this on mine too. But yeah, I really loved it and it just kind of fit the vibe for me, so I was like, yeah man, I'd love to put it on there.
Yeah, every weekend we throw a party in the
The next song we're going to talk about is a song, Girl. Mm-hmm. What's the story behind this?
Girl, for me, I've always wanted to write a song that is just ruthlessly raw and vulnerable. And for me, a lot of times, even in like interviews or just talking to people on the road or fans or anyone or even my family, they'll ask, you know, tell us a little bit about what's going on and how are you? And, you know, on the surface, sometimes I'll kind of fake it and be like, oh, it's great, you know, da, da, da. But on the inside, there's been times when I've been just like, I wish someone would just sit down with me and like, let me talk, like really talk. And I was like, I need to write a song about this. And so I just got my thoughts together and I wrote them down over just a course of a couple months. I was on a plane. I remember right before boarding a plane, I was writing lyrics, like right before I was in a coffee shop writing lyrics, like spent a few hours there and I had a track and I just listened to it over and over and over and over again. And I would write this song and there's a line in it that at the end it says, what's next? One step at a time, enjoy the ride. And I feel like that's like my life motto right now is to just take one step at a time. Because I think we can get way too concerned with what's my life going to be like in 10 years. Do I want to be a Christian artist? Do I want to be a mainstream artist? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? It's like, okay, let's take every day and let's just like walk in what we're supposed to walk in and be grateful with where we're at. And that song is a reminder for me, for sure.
On the outside, as a music fan, it looks like artists just have so much fun and they get to tour and they get to go to California and sing songs about Party in the Hills. And that's true.
Yeah, of course.
But deep down, you're still a real person just like everybody else, and you still deal with real crap every day, you know?
Real, yes, of course. And I think that's a big misconception, and I'm not anybody to talk because I'm a newer artist, but I still deal with things that, you know, I'm sure Justin Bieber deals with, you know, not to his scale, of course, but yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that comes with it and you don't realize sometimes. Like even myself, I'm like, wow, I'm really dealing with this and I had no idea. It's just a twisted like lie that gets in your head. And I think for me, I just wanted to say with this album, like, I just wanted to be super vulnerable and raw. Like, this is me, mess and all. Like, this is my heart. This is where I'm at. And if you don't get it, I get it. Like, it's fine. That's fine. But I feel like I have to release this. And if I didn't, I just don't know if I would believe in it as much, you know? So that's what I want my music to be about. I want it to be transparent in every area.
What you feel? Tell me just a little bit about your deal. Is it who, girl? Give us just a little bit about you, hon. Come on, let us get to know ya. We can hardly wait to know ya. What you gotta say? We'll just tell ya later.
I mean, you've even got a song in here, All My Love, about a relationship that ended. I mean, that's pretty real and raw. I mean, I guess when you look at an all music, it's not real and raw. Like, everybody sings about their relationships and breakups. But you kind
of
caught some flack for singing about a boy on your record, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
People were like, whoa, this is a Christian record. We can't sing this stuff.
I know. Well, the other day, I got this message on Instagram, and some lady was, like, at one of my shows. And she said something like, I hate that the fact that my daughter looked up at me and said, how is All My Love about God? And I was disappointed that it wasn't about God or something. And I just thought to myself, isn't it sad that a Christian artist, like, this album is a pop album. Like, it's labeled on iTunes as a pop album. But it still talks about my faith. And, like, isn't it sad that we think that Christian music or whatever, like, hold people in such a, like, weird standard mm-hmm. that... I almost want to say, like, do you buy, like, milk that was made by Christian people? Like, it's not, like, that's what, everybody goes through that, though. Yeah. And it's just kind of hurtful because I've really, like I said, like, trying to be transparent and relate with young girls. I've had a lot of young girls come up and be like, thank you for writing that because that's how I feel. And, you know, a lot of young girls are trying to live, like, as best as they can and be like, is anybody else walking through this? And so I just want to let them know that that's, you know, something that's real and you can walk through it and it's okay to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. It's part of life. And so when people say that, it's just kind of hurtful, but like, you have to let that roll off your back. Like, yeah. Some people aren't going to understand. And if they don't, then they're not meant to come along with the journey, you know, and that's fine. But songs like that, like All My Love, that's one of my favorite songs on the album. I love that song. And so, yeah, it was just kind of funny. Stuff like that's funny.
Well, I think now more than ever, especially my generation and younger, we need to hear that honesty, that realness, mm-hmm. that rawness. Because I don't want to slam anybody who was older or anything like that, but that just, it wasn't a part of their culture. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel the need to share their feelings mm-hmm. with everyone. They were told to bottle it all up,
well, yeah.
and that's how you're going to deal with it.
It seems like now, especially this generation of music and artists and like everybody, if you're a celebrity at all, it feels like most people, not all, but most people are trying to relate on a personal level and be super like, plain and simple and like, yeah, this is my life and like just kind of chill, like, yeah, I did this and I did that. And even like mainstream music and all that, I don't know, I feel like we're in a new era of transparency and we're moving forward in that, but I'm just gonna keep writing music about boys too, so it's gonna keep happening. So
do you have more inspiration to write more songs? Have there been more breakups lately?
No, Holland? Definitely no. Not definitely not. No. I just want you right here.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you took the time to talk about the yeah. songs behind this album. Join
no
us
problem.
On the More Than the Music podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 40, featuring Holland. You've made it all the way to the end, so clearly you love the podcast. So would you consider sharing it with your friends on social media? Any Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter post only helps more people hear the amazing stories behind these songs. I also love hearing from you. You can email me anytime at justin@wayfm.com or just leave a 5-star review inside iTunes. E. Nuke left this 5-star review and said, "Hearing the stories and the heartbeat artists put behind their music is what I love most. It's why music is the anthem of my life. Keep up the great work." Thanks so much, E. Nuke. If you want to connect with the show, you can go to wayfm.com/justin and find links to my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Plus, while you're there, sign up to win an autographed copy of Holland's CD, One Way Conversations, that was featured in this episode.